In the series we've been doing on 14 things in prophecy, I got a question yesterday concerning Revelation 11. So let's go to Revelation 11, and this will help start things for today. And it has to do with how do we understand prophecy? So Revelation 11 and verse 7. Talking about the two witnesses. And when they shall have completed their testimony, the beast who ascends out of the abyss shall make war against them and will overcome them and will kill them. So the question was, is this another beast? How do we know which beast this is? All right. So what we're going to do is do an overview of understanding prophecy, and then we will be able to determine the beast that ascends out of the abyss. All right? Now, we know that in Matthew 22, Jesus said about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. All right? Well, we can say that in addition to that, we can say also hangs the Gospels, Acts, the Epistles, and Revelation. They all hang on that, right? Now, prophecy within that hangs on what? Sabbath and holy days, which are part of the commandments of God, right? Okay. Now, as Roger covered, the deep things of God are understood by the Spirit of God, but also by timing. Also by timing. Book of Daniel, let's come to the last chapter, Daniel 12. And I always feel sorry for Daniel because everything that he went through, and he is one of the three most righteous men that God refers to, Moses, Daniel, and Job. Okay. Now, after he had got done with all of these prophecies, he wanted to know, what is it going to be? And God gave him the answer. I want you to understand it's going to be pretty close to 3,000 years. No, he didn't tell him anything. He said, verse 8, and I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, now he was talking to an angel. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. So there is a timing to a lot of these prophecies. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now we'll see why that is. So there's a time when it would come. Now, just put this in your notes. Psalm 119 and verse 18, which says, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Now that applies to all the word of God. We also know in Luke 24 that Jesus opened the minds of the disciples to understand the prophecies concerning him. So not only is there a timing, but there also has to be an opening of the mind. Now, let's tie this in with another verse. John 6:45. They shall all be taught of God. Now, if you read the Word of God and understand the Word of God, and with God's Spirit, as Roger brought out, who is teaching you? Did you understand that yourself? Or was there a reason why you understood? There's a reason. Number one, the Spirit of God. Number two, the timing when it comes to prophecy. Now, personal behavior can be understood at any time. All you have to do is start reading the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. That will help you, number one, your relationship with God. Number two, how to understand good and evil in your life and what to do and what not to do in very simple terms. Now, let's come to Proverbs 25. Let's see what else God has done. You've heard of the mystery of God, and the mystery of God includes his whole plan. And just think about it. How many people have lived and died, how few have been called, and how long man has been on the earth. And that'll kind of give you a hint as to what it's going to be like at the second resurrection. Verse 2. The glory of God is to conceal a thing. Isn't that what he told Daniel? It's concealed to the time of the end. But the honor of kings to search out a matter. Okay. So we need to search out what God wants us to know. Now then, let's come to John, the 16th chapter, John 16. And the reason all of this becomes important is because, John 16, God has to reveal it. Just like he opened the eyes of the disciples after his resurrection. Can you imagine the apostles? Here they are, studying with Jesus, learning from him, traveling all over Galilee and Judea, and he was telling them things about the kingdom of God. And I think a lot of them thought, well, you know, boy, we're going to be on the ground floor of the kingdom of God. And, you know, they were trudging along with everything, and they were expecting him, I'm sure, to set up an army, get rid of the Romans, and all the scribes and Pharisees, reading some of the prophecies in the Old Testament, they were looking for the Messiah to come to them and align themselves politically and religiously with the Messiah because he would embrace them. So they were looking for the Messiah to come and say, I'm the Messiah, you all come and join me. See? So because they didn't do that, because God did not do that through Christ, they killed him. And little did they understand that that goes all the way back to Genesis 3 and verse 15, that the Messiah had to die. And then all of the other prophecies, little here, little there, and that's how we're to study the Bible and rightly divide it. But here is something else. Let's pick it up here in verse 12, John 16. Jesus said, I have yet many things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them now. Well, why not? Well, first of all, he didn't want to tell them that when he ascended into heaven, you know, they wanted to know that very last day that Jesus was on the earth before he ascended into heaven after being with him 40 days and 40 nights. They said, you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? This is not for you to know the times or the season. So he gave them the Daniel script, huh? Not for you to know. But you go and preach. Okay? But here's what he told them the night before. You're not able to bear them now. However, when that one has come, even the Spirit of the truth. Now, here is a real key in understanding the Bible. The Word of God is true. His laws are true. His commandments are true. His statutes are true. His precepts are true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God is a God of truth, and he cannot lie. Now, with all of that, then we have to understand that from what he is telling them here, that it's going to agree with the truth of everything that he has said. Now notice what the Spirit will do. it will lead you into all truth. Now, in the Greek, it is the truth. That is, the truth necessary for understanding salvation, and the truth necessary to understand prophecy when it is time. Now, in this age, we can understand a lot of things that they never understood before. You know what was claimed that the mark of the beast was before modern technology? Sunday keeping. Well, that was a sign of the false Christian system. But that wasn't the mark of the beast. Because if Sunday were the mark of the beast, it couldn't be, because the mark of the beast says you can't buy or sell. Okay? So they said, everything's going to close down. There's still some Seventh-day Adventist preaching. Universal blue laws are coming from the Catholic Church. However, if Sunday were the mark of the beast, and you cannot buy unless you had the mark of the beast, how come it is you could buy on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and if you don't keep Sunday, on Saturday? Never would they, in their wildest imaginations, imagine that, well, Jonathan's got he's got the faithful version right on his smartphone. It was dumb until he put it on. Okay? Here he's got the whole Bible there. And they never could imagine the things that we understand today. Right here, while we're sitting here, we're being bombarded with all kinds of frequencies and waves. Telephone, light, what else? Radio, television, all of those.
Microwave?
Yeah, all of those things. Okay. But you don't know it, do you? Okay, so there are many things he had to tell them, but they weren't able to bear them now because, number one, they couldn't understand because God didn't give the understanding. And number two, it wasn't time. Okay? However, when that one has come, even the Spirit of the truth, it will lead you. Tie that in with Romans 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay? It will lead you into all the truth because it shall not speak from itself. Who is going to do the speaking? Now, this is why it was hard for some people to understand that the Holy Spirit is not a person. Today, we can understand it. Because I can say, okay, in this envelope, I got a chip in here. And it contains the whole sermon. Matter of fact, we have two chips. One audio, one video. Same size chip. If you put them side by side, you couldn't tell which one was what. And if you put the wrong chip in, it wouldn't work. So likewise, with the Holy Spirit, it's not speaking of itself because it is not a person. It is speaking just like one of these chips when it's in the right machine. Okay? So the right machine is our minds with the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God coming to us, which continues to come to us, will lead us into all the truth we need to know for the time in which we are living. So we can add that in, okay? Now then, two other things we need to do. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, we're told, diligently study to show yourself approved unto God. Okay, so we have to study. Number two, we have to study a little here, a little there, put it all together, and then we get the picture. All right? Now, let's come to the book of Daniel. So the way we are going to understand this is not get down into the details, but to get an overview of prophecy. Book of Daniel. Let's come to chapter 2. Book of Daniel. We're not going to get into it, but we are going to see what come to Daniel, the second chapter. Now, the time of Babylon, as I mentioned before, is what is known in historical terms an axial period. Now, an axial period is when it is virtually a worldwide occurrence. Now, when there was Babylon, that was an axial period because out of Babylon came Hinduism, Buddhism, revision of Egyptian religion, Judaism, and that also led to the religion of the Medes and the Persians and the philosophies of the Greeks. And also an axial period is a time in history that we can go back to for accurate dates. We can get accurate dates back to that time. Going before that, it's hard to get the dates. Now, there was another axial period way before, which was the period where they built pyramids. And they found there were pyramids everywhere, okay, that spread around the world. Here in Daniel, we have now a known period in history that is verifiable. And we have something that God has told us, which is true. Now, let's pick it up in verse 36. And what we're going to do, we're going to see a pattern develop. Daniel 2, verse 36. Okay? So let's examine this. He said, "This is a dream. We will tell the interpretation before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory." God raises up all the nations, takes them down, doesn't he? Just put in there Jeremiah 18. He judges the nations. "And wherever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them. You are this head of gold." Now, that gives us something that is definitive, directly from God, simple to understand, a starting point. The starting point is the head of gold. Then it goes all the way down. "After you shall arise another kingdom." So we have another principle here, don't we? The king and the kingdom are synonymous. "Another kingdom inferior to you, and a third kingdom of brass shall rule over all the earth, and a fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and beats down all things, and as iron that crushes all these shall it break in pieces and crush." Now, this tells us quite a bit. We're going to see in chapter 7 a little more explanation of this. See, this is why you can't just look in one place and come to a definitive conclusion concerning prophecies that cover a long period of time. Okay, then it's going to crush and break all these in pieces. Verse 41, "And whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of iron, because you saw the iron mixed with the miry clay, and as the toes," now it separates out the toes from the feet, "and as the toes of the feet were part iron, part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." Doesn't tell us what kingdom, where, how far off, but it gives us a description, doesn't it? All right, "And whereas you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cling together, even as iron does not combine with clay. And in the days of these kings," so it says the ten toes are ten kings. Okay? But that's way off in the future. And today we still haven't arrived at that point. All right? And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Because you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Later on, what does it talk about? The stone of stumbling, the rock of offense. That's Christ. How do you depict Christ coming? Okay, so this is a prophecy of it. But to just read this, and at the time that it was given by Daniel, you wouldn't know that that's of Jesus. You wouldn't know that that ties in with Genesis 3:15. You wouldn't know anything about the details of it because he hadn't come. None of this had taken place, but it does tell you what? There is coming an end to all of man's rule. Okay? And God is going to do it. Now, verse 45, because you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to you what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Now, how much time does that prophecy cover? Still hasn't finished. So, we search out a little more. Let's come here to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. Now, the way you follow along is, how many kingdoms were there? You had the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and iron and clay, okay? Which is right at the end. So you have four kingdoms, all right? When we come to chapter 7, we have four great beasts. So here he saw this vision. Verse 2, Daniel 7, Daniel spoke and said, in my vision by night I was looking, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Mark that, sea. We're going to find that becomes important. And this is important when you're studying through. You get various elements and you note them, because later you may have a biblical interpretation of what it is. And this will help us then connect the different prophecies that are speaking about the same thing so that it will make a clear picture. Verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, different from one another. First was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Now that's a strange mixture, isn't it? And that's where we get what? Symbol of cherubim, right? And I watched until its wings were plucked and was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on its feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That goes back to Daniel, the fourth chapter, when Nebuchadnezzar was struck with madness for 7 years. Then he was restored and given his kingdom back. And he praised God and wrote Daniel, the fourth chapter, to all the kings of the earth. Now, verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear. And it raised itself up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and was said to it, arise, eat much flesh. That ties in with the image of silver. That's why in the back of the Bible we have that appendices which shows the time of all of these kingdoms, see? Then he saw another beast like a leopard which had four wings of a bird on its back. Now that's a strange looking thing, isn't it, huh? What did that symbolize? Okay, we'll get part of the answer when we come to Daniel, the eighth chapter. So then we mark another beast, which is a kingdom, four wings, So we look at the number four, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. So we'll see what that is in chapter 8 here in just a minute. Then the fourth beast, and this beast had iron. Now that connects with Daniel 2, doesn't it? Okay, so here we have a little more understanding. Then we find something else happened, okay? It was different than all the other beasts in verse 8. And as I was considering the horns, because it had 10 horns, okay, behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I watched until thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days sat. Now what is this? The kingdom of God, whose raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was like flames of fire, and its wheels like burning fire. Okay? That ties in with the book of Ezekiel and the cherubim, doesn't it? Okay. And a stream of fire issued and came out from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Where do we find this repeated? Very similar. Revelation 5. So Revelation 5 gives us understanding that this was a scene in heaven. All right? The court sat, the books were open. Whoa! That's the judgment that Roger talked about. That has to be looking at the first resurrection, but also extending out to the second resurrection. Correct? Yes. Now, how would anybody at that time, or even in the New Testament times, or down through the Dark Ages and everything, how would they know what any of these things would mean? They couldn't, because the time had not come and it was hidden. So then he was looking and he saw, okay? Then I was looking because of the voice of the boastful words which the horn spoke, and I watched until the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. And as for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Okay? Babylon is gone. But do we still have Persia? Yes, we do. It's called Iran. Do we still have Greece? Yes, we do. Do we still have Rome? Yes, we do. And all the succeeding things come from there. Now, have you ever looked at some of the symbols in Congress, right up where the Speaker of the House sits? You look at it. On one side, you have all the sheaves tied together with an axe. That's a Roman symbol. And in fact, that was one of the very symbols that Mussolini used for his socialism, see. So, and what do we have on nearly every government building? We have drawings and etchings and carvings and statues exactly like they had in Greece. And what do we have in London, Washington, D.C., and in Rome? Obelisk from Egypt. So this shows all of this comes together. All right? Now then, let's see that all of these end at the same time. All right? Let's continue here. Let's come down here to, here's the interpretation, verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings that shall arise out of the earth. Because, like we're going to learn when we examine more closely Daniel 11, that there are different kings and queens with lengths of reigns that take place that are not part of the prophecy, because the prophecy talks about the one who did what was described. So likewise here, okay? Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, we can read that and we can understand that, correct? Who are the saints? The saints are those today, because now we can look back and understand it because of what knowledge that we have in the New Testament that God has opened up for us. And those who have the Spirit of God are the saints of God, and they are going to be resurrected, and they are going to rule and reign with Christ. Well, you don't have any of that here. So this was a great mystery to them. How could this be the saints? Who are the saints? Oh, the 10 tribes of Israel and the tribe of Judah and the Levites. Oh, they're going to rule the world. Well, not quite so. All right. Verse 19. Then I desired to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass. He devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the rest with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were on his head. Now, 10 horns. Where do we see this repeated? Book of Revelation. So we need to note those things, because this is a clue for us to understand. See? Now, they didn't have the book of Revelation to understand it. We do. And of the other horn which came up, before whom three fell, even of the horn that had eyes and a mouth speaking boastful things, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. And I watched, and that same horn made war against the saints and overcame them. All right. Back in Daniel's time, was there war made against the people of God living in Judea and living in Galilee? Yes, indeed. Okay. But not knowing the time frame, they would not know that this had to do with who? Those who would be the followers of Christ. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So when is that? First resurrection. How do we understand when that is? What is the framework? Sabbath and holy days. So this tells us the framework of the structure of the governments and countries of the world, up to a certain point. And we need Daniel in order so when we read Revelation, we can connect the clues and put it together and see how the framework turns out. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. And it's all of Rome. I don't care where you go. Even you go to China today. What is China like? It's like the West. Where did the West come from? From Rome. Okay? Which shall be different from all the other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, and it shall break it, it shall trample it and break it in pieces. Now, how is that going to be? Without the book of Revelation to understand it. Now we'll see that ties in with Revelation 13. Now here's something. Verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. 10, so that sequence of 10 kings. Now these are 10 particular kings, of which there are other kings within the system that are not counted, but are of the 10. That's why you need the chart in the back of the Bible to look at. Okay. And devour the whole earth. What does it mean, the whole earth? Now, in the book of Revelation, we'll see there are things that tell us about what? The whole world, all nations, peoples, languages, tongues, etc. The whole earth. But during Daniel's day, how much of the whole earth did they really, really know? Well, they may have known more than we've understood, but we don't know much more than the fact that during Solomon's time, they had ships which went around the world 3 years. Then all of that knowledge was lost. However, someone somewhere had a map which went way, way, way back, and they found out that they even had Antarctica coastline already mapped out. So, devour the whole earth, break it in pieces. 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now notice, verse 25, and shall speak words against the Most High. Well, there have been a lot of people speak against God, right? One of them was Antiochus Epiphanes, correct? Okay. But is that the one? This verse could not be understood until Book of Revelation and 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the set times and laws. Now we have a description to look to. And we have something to look at. What organization changed the laws of God and said they had the power to do it? Well, it started with Constantine, didn't it? He was the first pope. Okay. Now then, that's how Sunday came about. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and half a time. Now, that's generally known as 3.5 years. Now, we're going to see something else which will help us understand that. So, that being the case, that has to be talking about the very end time. Is there persecution and martyrdom coming upon all the saints of God? It hasn't quite arrived yet. Yes, there is. Okay. But the judgment shall sit, or when would that be? How do we know that that will be? Well, we can't understand that till we get to the book of Revelation, see? But nevertheless, this gives us some clues to work with. Notice, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and to be destroyed unto the end. In other words, everything is going to be wiped out. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the heavens shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Now, they couldn't understand that until the book of Revelation shows it's going to be those who are the true Christians. But when was the book of Revelation written? About 98 to 100 A.D. So look at all of that time from there until now. And because of the time between the actions of different kings, when people just read it without having the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, and the Word of truth, and at the right time when it is revealed to be understood, they can't understand it. I mean, even for us, it's not necessarily an easy thing to understand, is it? No. So we put it together. That's why I'm doing this overview here, see? Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all kingdoms shall serve and obey him. Now, that doesn't come until the beginning of the millennium, right? Okay? So you see, some of these prophecies, when you just sit down, and if you're just going to sit down and read it like you read a book, it's going to be nothing but mumbo jumbo and hidden. Who would ever want to believe a book like that? I mean, they would do well with a comic book. Okay? Okay. Now let's come to Daniel, the 8th chapter. Now, let's see. Daniel 2 ended up with the establishment of the kingdom of God. Daniel 7 ended up with the establishment of the kingdom of God, correct? All right. Now, Daniel 8 ends up with the establishment of the kingdom of God. Now, it talks about two beasts. One with two horns, that's Media and Persia, and a rough goat that travels quickly, which is identified as the king of Greece. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 19. Now here, Daniel is given contemporary, very, very short future contemporary understanding. And he said, behold, I will make you know what will happen in the latter time of the indignation. Now it's going to go all the way down to the return of Christ. But he's going to give him some understanding that will apply very quickly. The latter time of indignation, because it belongs to the appointed time of the end. Now mark that, appointed time. That's why we say that the holy days and feasts of God are the framework on which to hang prophecy, because they are what? Appointed times. What did it say of Christ? At the appointed time, he died for sinners. When was he born? At the fulfillment of the time, he was born. So you also have to tie in then the calculated Hebrew calendar, which gives us the Sabbath and holy days, see? Amazing, isn't it? See, we can look at this and we can say, whoo, look at that, look at that, look at the other thing. But just try and think of it as if you had no knowledge of the New Testament, no knowledge of the book of Revelation, and that you just pick up the Bible and start to read it. Or think of it when the exiles got back from Babylon after being in captivity 70 years, and the book of Daniel came with the priest when they came back, and they were reading this. They could understand a little, because the Jews came back under the suzerainty of the Persian Empire. And by the way, they couldn't have a king, only a governor, no king. So they could understand a little bit. But the time of the end, notice, as we go on, verse 21, and the shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn between his eye is the first king, and we know historically that is what? Alexander the Great. Now that being broken, isn't it interesting? You go back and read of that era. The Greeks devised weapons of warfare and were so skilled in what they were doing that they completely overwhelmed the massive armies of the Greeks and the Persians. They couldn't handle it. Okay? And Alexander conquered all of what we know as Asia Minor into Babylon, into India, into Egypt, and then he came back to Babylon and died. He got some kind of fever, some kind of disease, and bang, he died. All right? So let's read it here. Then four stood up in its place, and the whole empire of Greece was divided into four sections, under the four generals. And two of those generals became king of the north, the Seleucids, king of the south, which was in Egypt. Four kingdoms stood up out of the nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when transgressors have come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Now we know from Revelation that this is talking about the one who is called the beast in Revelation. See? And he shall destroy marvelously, and shall prosper and do his will, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his cunning, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He will magnify himself in his heart, and in time of security shall destroy many. He shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human hand. All right? What does it say back in Daniel 2 about the kingdom shall be broken without human hand by the stone cut out of the mountain? Okay? Here it is. Now we have a person. We have two. Prince of princes and this great king at the last. Okay? Then division of the morning and evenings, that's another whole prophecy to get into. All right. Let's come to Daniel 9, because Daniel 9 is another time frame on which prophecy hangs. Okay? Daniel 9, okay? The 70 weeks prophecy. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 23. Now, there are some details calendar-wise, and also according to the ritual of the temple, that this was at the time of the offering of the incense. Okay? Now, what also was the time of the announcement of John the Baptist? At the time of the offering of incense. So God does a lot of things that are on time. All right, let's go ahead here. Okay, verse 22. And he made me to understand and talk with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the word went forth, and I have come to declare to you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 weeks are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city. Okay, now this covers a lot of ground on the city. Okay? Jerusalem. Then we have what? Fulfillment of that. Revelation 21, New Jerusalem. See? Now notice the next phrase here. Decreed upon your people and the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. Now then, when is sin ended? Christ, when he died, gave the means to end it, but he didn't end it. When is there the end of sin? It has to be the incorrigible cast into the lake of fire. And Satan removed completely. But none of that is told us here. To make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? So verse 25, we'll finish with the 70-week prophecy here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Two separate time periods. 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with streets and walls, even in troublous times. Well, read Ezra and Nehemiah, and you've got the history of it. And it did take 49 years to finish. Okay? Now, here's another thing. The way that these weeks are counted are not the 7 days equals 7 years, but the week equals 49 years. Now, verse 26, and after 62 weeks, not when it ends, but after. Now, if you don't have the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, you need to get that book because that'll point out all of the counting of this and how that comes about, Okay. After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince, or the prince of the people, who shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, now that happened with Titus in 70 AD. That's why there has to be another temple built. But his end shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, that is the prince, not Jesus, shall confirm the covenant with many 1 week. So what we have here is this. We have the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks are separated with a short time period. Coming down to after 62 weeks, then, which is really 69, Christ is cut off. Then the 70th week goes clear out to the book of Revelation. And as we will see, when the beast power is given power over the whole earth. See? So this is why it's difficult to understand some of these scriptures unless you have the holy days, unless you have the time frame, see? Okay. Confirm it with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifices and the sacrifice and offering to cease. Okay. Upon the wings of abominations shall come one who makes desolate even unto the consummation, and a fully determined end, which is decreed, shall be poured out upon the desolator. Now, what happens to the beast, finally? Revelation 19. Cast into a lake of fire, see? Now, what I want us to understand is this. All of the framework of all of these prophecies are all true. The timing has to be determined by the events and by other prophecies. So it's just like when you build a skyscraper. What is the first thing that they put up? They put up all the steel framework, and then everything else is built upon it. And everything, when you put it all together, it becomes a very complicated thing. When you think about all the electricity, all the water, all the plumbing, all the sewage, when you think about the elevators, when you think about the delivery below ground, when you think about all of the aspects that goes into building a great skyscraper. Now, they just built one, the World Trade Center. Built a brand new one. It stands up there. It is the biggest building in New York City and the most glorious thing that they have ever built. I wonder how many Muslims have their sights set on that one as well. Okay, so we'll pick it up next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.